Today we continue with lesson number 21 in our ongoing study of Mishnayos Masechet Shavuos. We continue in Perek Hamishi, the fifth Perek, with the fourth and fifth Mishnayos, and Mirtz Hashem will finish the fifth Perek. The topic, the central topic of the fifth Perek, is Shavuos HaPikodon. Until now, the claims which we have been discussing as examples are claims for mammon. I entrusted you with my golden goblet. It's worth $1,000. I want the goblet back. I had a wallet. It lost it in the street. You found it. I want it back. So I am claiming what's called mammon. Something of value, a specific item which is worth a certain amount, I want it back, etc. Or I want its value back. We discussed earlier in our study of this Maseches a different type of claim, which is not a claim for compensatory damages, but rather is a claim for money which is owned as a kanas. A kanas is a fine imposed by the Torah in certain situations. For example, if a person rapes a young girl of a certain age, we won't get into the details of it here, whether he does so as an ones, meaning he forcefully, physically forces himself upon her, or whether he does so as a mefate, meaning he seduces the girl with smooth talk, with promises of whatever. So the person, the rapist, is obligated to pay a knas, a fixed amount, which is set in the Torah itself, discussed in the Mishnah and Maseches Ksuvos in the third parak. Chamishim kesef, 50 silver coins. That claim, the claim that the father has to the rapist, is a claim for a knas, not for mammon. It's not a compensation. There are also compensatory damages involved. First of all, in terms of value, so to speak, the girl is worth less now that she has this, has had this unfortunate occurrence happen. She's been embarrassed. And embarrassment is something which can be evaluated, and the rapist has to pay for the boshes, for the embarrassment he caused, and for the pagam, for the damage in the market value, so to speak. I hate to be so coarse, but that's what we're talking about here, the market value of this poor girl. So, in the Mishnah's case, the father comes to the rapist and says, Onasta ufitiso esbiti. You raped my daughter, either through force, ones, or through pitoy, through seduction. Fuhu omer, and the rapist denies it. He says, Lo anasti velo pitisi. I did not rape her. Mashbiachani. So the father says, I am imposing a shvua upon you. In other words, do you swear? V'yomar omein. And he said, omein, which we learned several times now, is equivalent to a shvua. Chayav. So if he is swearing falsely, he really did rape her, then he is obligated in the korban osham, which is a consequence of Shavuos HaPikodon. Now, in this case, he's obligated because the claim the father is making is a complicated claim. He's making a claim for a kanas, true, and if the denial, the false swearing, denying the claim, would be only against a claim for a kanas, there would be no Shavuos HaPikodon. There's only a Shavuos HaPikodon for mammon, for compensatory damages, but not for kanas. But here, the father is making a complex claim for both mammon, the boshes and pagam, the actual loss of money involved in the market value of this girl, pagam, and the boshes, the embarrassment. Those are mammon claims. But he's also claiming the 50 kesef, which is a knas claim. The Chachamim feel that there is a case of shvuas hapikadon. There is a consequence of an obligation for a korban in such a situation. But Rabbi Shimon poter. Rabbi Shimon says no. He's exempt from the consequences of shvuas hapikadon. She'eno mishalem kanas al piyatzmo. The general rule is, if you lent me $100 and I say no, or I come to you and say, yes, I confess I owe you $100. I can confess von Heint bis Morgen. I can confess 10 times I owe you $100 that you lent me. I still have to pay the $100. But mode biknas is potter. If I, let's have myself as an example, but if someone, a rapist, comes forth and admits that he raped this girl, he would be exempt from the knas, from the chamishim kesef, from the 50 silver coins. He would still have to pay the mamon, the boshes, and pagam, but he's exempt from the knas. Modeh b'knas potur. So since modeh b'knas is potur, Rabbi Shimon says, in a sense, when the rapist says, I didn't do it, he is not being kofer mamon. He is not denying the father from any money. He's denying the father from knas, which he could get off the hook from the knas easily by just confessing. This is Rab Shimon's position. Amru lo, the Chacham object, and they say, granted, the knas element is not does not have the consequences of shvuas hapikado. Afal pisha enu mishalem knas al piyatzmo. Granted, he doesn't pay the knas if he had confessed. But Mishalim Boshes Upagam al Piyatzmo, he still would have to pay, even if he fully confessed, the Boshes Upagam. So, therefore, there is a Kfiras Momo. By saying he did not rape her, he is denying the father the claim of Momo, of the Boshes Upagam. And therefore, he is obligated, this rapist, in the Shvuas HaPikadon, in the Korban. The Gemara explains this machlokas a little bit more deeply and says, according to Rabbi Shimon, in a case of a complex claim, if this father knows, I can claim the knas, and that's a fixed amount, chamishim kesef. It's written in the Torah. The guy can't squirm out of that. However, the boshes and the pagam, the embarrassment, the market value of this poor girl, go figure that out. How do you figure out how much embarrassment costs? How do you figure? So it's a claim without any firm basis, without any amount which is katsuv. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon says, if a person has a complex claim, one component which is clear as day, 50 silver coins, the other component which could go through the course for 5 years, how do we assess the market value of a 12-year-old? How do we assess the embarrassment and how much the embarrassment is worth on the market, etc.? So therefore, all he is claiming is the knas. A person who makes such a claim ignores the claim he has of boshes upagam because it's so vague, and he insists upon the claim of the knas. So basically, he's only claiming the knas. Therefore, Rab Shimon says there's no shvuas ha'edus, but the chachamim say no. The father feels I'm entitled to the 50 kesef, and I'm also entitled to the market value of the girl and to the cost of the embarrassment. How we figure that out? All right, we'll figure it out somehow. But I'm not giving up a penny. You raped my daughter, and I want to be compensated for it in every way, shape, manner, or form that's possible. And therefore, the kfiras mamon here is on mamon, is on the bosh to begam, and therefore, there is a shvuas hapikadon factor, and there would be a chiyuv of a korban oshem upon this rapist. So hold the chachamim, and so is the halacha. Now, the Mishnah continues with these complex claims which have components of knas and components of mamon. And here are some examples. The Toveya says to the Nitba, Gonavto es shori, you stole my ox. You stole my ox, you have to pay tashlume kefil, you have to pay back double the ox. Vuhu omer, and the thief, or alleged thief, says, Lo gonavti, I never stole. So the Toveya says, Mashbiacho, I'm imposing a shvua upon you, vi omar omein. And the Ganov says, okay, I swear, amen. And then he says, "Oy vey, it's Erev Yom Kippur. I'm confessing I really did steal your ox." Then Chayov, he is obligated to pay Shvuah Sakfi Kodom, because he paid. He had denied when he swore the keren, the actual value of the ox, plus the knas, which is the kefel. The ox is worth $100. He now has to pay $200 by saying he doesn't owe, didn't steal, so he's denying $200. $100 of mamon, the keren, the actual value of the shor, and $100 of the knas, the kefel, the doubling, which is imposed by the Torah. But since it's certainly an element here of kfiras mamon, on the $100 value of the ox, he is chayav. But suppose a nitpa says, gonafti, I stole the ox. Yes, avolo tovachti velo mocharti. But I didn't slaughter the ox. I didn't sell the ox. Had he sold it or slaughtered it, he would be mechuyav arba v'chamisha. He would be mechuyav in the case of the ox, five times the value, $500. In the case of the sheep, $400 value, right? So the eino chayav l'shalim arba v'chamisha. In this case, he's saying, I didn't shecht the cow, ox, I didn't sell it, and therefore I'm not chay of the four or five times amount, the knas. I'm only chay of double, because I stole an object, I have to pay back, it's $100, I have to pay you back $200. The Toveya says, Mashbiach, I want you to swear that you didn't shecht or sell it. So, what they're arguing about is only knas, only the four times factor or the five times factor. Only the extra, in this case, only the amount of money over and above $200. The ox is worth $100. Kefel is another $100. That he admits to. But now the third $100 and the fourth $100 and the fifth $100 are all knas. And by saying lo tovachti velo mocharti, he's denying only knas. Denying only knas, potur. He's exempt from shvuas hapikadon, because there hasn't been a kfiras mamon, only a kfiras knas. And by mode b'knas, he would be potur. So he's not causing a damage, definite damage, because if he would confess that he shechted or sold the ox, he would have to pay the extra third, fourth, and fifth $100. Suppose Tovea comes and says to the Nitba, Hey Mishor Choes Shori, your ox killed my ox. For who Omer Lo Hamis? And the owner of the living ox says, No, my ox did not kill your ox. And the Tovea says, Mashbiacho Ani, I'm imposing a Shvuah upon you. Vi Omar, and the owner of the living ox said, Omein. And then he says, Erev Yom Kippur, I confess I swore falsely. Chayav, he wouldn't be obligated in Shvuas HaPikodon. Because we're talking here about an ox who is a muad, an ox which is a murderous ox. And with such an ox damages another ox, the claim is for a nezek. You owe me the value of my ox, whom your ox killed. But suppose the claim is this. Hemis shorcho es avdi, your shor killed my eved, my slave, my eved knani, Gentile slave. And v'hu omer lo hamis, and the owner of the ox says, No, my ox did not kill your slave. Mashbiacho ani, so the Toveya says, I'm wanting you to swear. V'yomar omein, and the owner of the ox says, I swear, omein. Potter, he's exempt from Meshuas HaPikodon, because the Torah says, in Pashas Mishpotim, Kesef Shloshim Shikolim Yitein Ladunov, that if your ox kills my Eved Kanani, you have to pay me 30 shekel. Even if this Eved is an old, decrepit, invalid Eved that's not worth a penny on the market, nevertheless, you got to pay me Shloshim Shkolim. So my claim against you for killing this Eved is a claim of a Knas. And a claim of a Knas is not Mechayev in a Shvuas HaPikodon. So when you swore falsely, you are not obligated to pay the korban, to bring the korban osham, because modeh b'knas is potur. Had you confessed, then I would have no claim against you, because modeh b'knas is potur. Omar lo, suppose the Toveya says to the Nitba, chovalto bi v'yosiso bi chaburo. you beat me up and you cause me a bruise. You cause bloodshed. V'hu omer, and the nitpa says, lo chovalti v'lo osisi bo chaburo. I didn't hit you, and I certainly didn't cause you to bleed. Mashbiacho ani, so the Tevea says, I'm imposing a shvua upon you v'yomar omein. And the alleged assailant says, omein, accepts the shvua. Chayat, then he would be obligated to pay shvua sapikodon, because when you beat someone up and cause a chabura, you've got to pay. You've got to pay the market value of the victim. You've got to pay for his hospital bills. You've got to pay for his loss of work, etc., etc. These are all claims of mamon, assessable claims. But suppose the Toveya says, oh, malo, afdo, suppose the Toveya here is an Eved Kanani himself. And the Eved comes along and says to his master, his fully Jewish master, he palto es shini, you knocked out my tooth. Visimiso es eini, you blinded my eye. And therefore you have to free me, because the Torah tells us that if a master beats his slave, causing loss of an eye or loss even of a tooth, that slave then goes free. That freedom is a knas, not an assessed value of anything. It's freedom that the Torah gives to such a eved. And this eved is now claiming freedom. He's not claiming money. So if the eved says, the master says, lo hi palti v'lo simisi, I didn't do any such thing, I never touched you. And the eved says, mashbiacho ani, I'm imposing a shvua upon you, v'yomar omein. And the master accepts the shvua, in effect utters an oath, saying, I never touched you, I never harmed you. In such a case, there is no kfiras mamon. The master is not denying mamon. He's denying the freedom. He's denying a kanas. In such a case, potur. The master, even if he swears falsely that he never blinded or knocked out the tooth, he would not have to bring the korban asham, because it's not a kfiras mamon. It is only a kfiras kanas. Zehaklal, this is the general rule. Kol hamishalem al pi atzmo, in any situation where even if I would confess to the claim, I would still have to pay. You tell me that I owe you $100, and I agree I owe you $100. Nevertheless, I have to pay you the $100. So in such a case, there is a chayov, there is a shuas ha'edus, and the chayov of a korban osham. But however, v'she'eino mishalim al pi atzmo, if you come to me and say that my shor killed your eved, fine. If I come along and say, yes, he did, he sure did kill your eved, I modeh b'knas, I agree that I owe you the 30 kesef, then I'm exempt from that 30 kesef, because modeh b'knas is potter. So in such a situation, you're also potter from shvuas hapikadon. If I would swear that my ox did not harm your eved, I would be exempt from, swear falsely, I would be exempt from a shvuas hapikadon. By the way, I would still be obligated because I swore falsely. That's a different thing from shvuas hapikadon. That's shvuas bitoy, which we discussed in another context. And so we have finished lesson number 21, and with it have completed the fifth chapter of Maseches Shvuos, of Mishnayos Maseches Shvuos.